Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hosting hot tip. You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome pieces for our short-term rentals?
Well, we're going to let you in on our secret weapon. It is Manoan. They have steep discounts on over 100 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Parachute, Bello. The list goes on and on. But these discounts are for hosts and designers for hosts only.
I had my eye on this awesome coffee table from Wayfair, wanting to give our listing that wow factor, but you know us. We are all about having our numbers dialed in and staying budget friendly.
And that's where Manoan stepped in with an awesome discount. And here's the kicker. Becoming a member is totally free. Yes, I said free. F-R-E-E. No cost to join. No monthly membership. It is completely free. But these discounts are exclusive. You do have to be a host or a designer for hosts.
Once you're a member, all you have to do is head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and purchase and fill your shopping cart in just a few clicks. And it's not just furniture and decor. Restock your most used items anytime you need to refill your supply area.
Exactly. And the best part, again, no catch. There's no fees, nada. Just major discounts waiting for you. Being a Manoan member is like being a VIP host without breaking the bank.
So head on over to ManoanExperience.com. That's M-I-N-O-A-N experience.com. Or just simply click the link in our show notes and sign up and let the savings begin. Hello, welcome back for the great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Let's kick off this episode like we do every week, and then sharing one of you, our incredible listeners, who is using our hashtag on Instagram, hashtag STR Share Sunday. We are looking for who is using that hashtag, and then we are sharing you on our Instagram on Sundays, get it? But also here on the podcast to our entire email list. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at stayinplay_Branson. It's stay, the letter in, play, underscore Branson. This property, the owner loves board games, so it only seemed fitting, this is what they're posted, for that to be the theme. They have over 50 games available, 2 Nintendo Switches. The first thing I thought of, I have to admit, is how do you keep track of all these pieces? And what if a game piece goes missing? But
I'm sure
I'm sure that's on your inspection list to check each and every piece of the games. But I love this because they have all their board games kind of throughout the home, but they have a main area where they are, and they've actually used some of the board games to the actual board of the games, turned it into art. And so I think that was just really clever. And obviously this is super family friendly property. So some of those Nintendo Switches are inside the bedrooms where the children will sleep. I love that they went with something, you know, they enjoy, and their avatar hopefully enjoys the games too. And really, imagine having your family stay there and playing a game that maybe for the first time or a game that you played growing up. I think it's a really great way for the guests to connect.
It's such a cute way to stand out as well, right? Pick something small that's meaningful to you that you'll be passionate about sharing with your guests and go with it. Run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also like how they've shared members of their team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cute.
It's a great way to definitely connect. And then the thing about this too is there are so many ways that then your team can repost. Let's say you're sharing some of the games. Maybe you tag the gaming company, they repost. But I love Stay and Play. It's a great play on words. And they are just crushing it. We thank you for using that. And, you know, maybe this is an offer to... Maybe you don't have to have 50 games, but you know, maybe it's you're going through your quarter and you're like, what can I add to my property that could just give it a little something, maybe surprise and delight for the guests that check in. So maybe it is adding, I know Monopoly does a lot of different cities that are city specific. Maybe you could add a puzzle or two, but something that your guests could enjoy when they're there, and very low investment, but definitely could be hours of entertainment for your guests. So Stay and Play. Well done. I want to know, do you really know how to play all 50 of those games? You are a board game lover, so maybe you do. And side note, I know in Columbus, that is one of our busiest weekends.
It is.
There is a board game. I remember it first started happening and I'm like, it's all week, I feel like.
It's like in October too.
When I say occupancy rates, it is the
huge
amount of people that come here to play these board games. We love it because it is like a week long, because a lot of times what happens that the people come in early, they can get together with their gaming friends, they play games all week, they stay after. It is a great time here in Columbus for hosts and a great way for people to connect, but also for us to get bookings. Sarah, this
my boyfriend's back.
This you are going to get in trouble. This guest, he ain't playing games.
Mm-mm.
He is not playing games.
Oh,
all right.
I see what you did there. We have Justin Ford, international safety expert, specifically for short-term rentals. He works at Breezeway, which, you know, is one of our favorite pieces of technology for our short-term rental business. And Justin is the most repeat guest on our podcast because he's got the most important topic that he shares, which is safety. Please do not skip this episode. Please listen to it in its entirety. Justin drops this one thought change about who we're actually up against when it comes to the longevity and security of the short-term rental business. And it's not who you think it is. And so I want you to hear that tip once the episode plays. But of course, Justin shares a ton of information about how to make your properties more safe, how to save you from liability or having something on your conscience that you don't want on your conscience, and obviously to protect your short-term rental. Let's get to it. Justin, welcome back to the podcast.
Are we supposed to say welcome back?
This is episode number 13. You are by far the most repeat guest we have because you have the most important topic to share with everyone. So welcome back. What have you been up to? What's new in the short-term rental safety world?
First, 13 episodes. I still remember when Annette was driving me crazy when we met like 5 years ago at a VRBO conference in Arizona. She's like, I have a podcast. I'm like, whatever. It's so awesome. It's so awesome how far you guys have come. I'm still like playing with little fire extinguishers and squirting water, and you guys are like crushing it. Killing it. You represent so much in the world. So it's so awesome how far you've come.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's been a lot going on. Our last episode was almost a year ago in April, and so many crazy things all the time are happening. I wish I could say things have improved. They're not. And that's what kills me. Obviously, one thing that has improved is all of the listeners that listen to this podcast. I'm always so humbled how many of them are like, hey, yeah, Justin, we heard you and we've done this. So it's not your listeners. And we'll talk about that. But it's all the other crazy things. You know, I talked about this one at your conference this past fall. You know, the fire that happened in the Outer Banks that killed those three people, that's still in the news. It's still getting talked about. and the fire. We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of all the people who died at the Airbnbs in Montreal. And that's going to be making big news again. And it still is. We're seeing all this pattern of the news media is attracted, obviously, to when the incident happens. And then a month goes by, and then they focus on the family and the relatives. A month goes by, then the lawsuits happen, and they just keep pounding the news stories. But, you know, even this week, you look, there was death of somebody in an Airbnb camper. You know, I see a lot of those that was in New Zealand. We've just had the first pool drowning death in the U.S. for this year at a vacation rental in Florida, which just kills me. Those are so needless. So
can you explain what the camper van? I'm not familiar with that incident. We haven't ever really done kind of like tiny home or camper van safety. What happened there to share with everyone?
Yeah. You know, a lot of those are tough because a lot of those, like the little boats or the campers or different things are using a lot of times gas heaters and they're complicated. You've got the carbon monoxide issue that you've got to address. But then anytime we're in these tiny spaces, especially, you know, in a cooler time of year, you're dealing with some sort of heater that's not conventional. It's not like the thermostat at home. This one that just happened in New Zealand, it was particularly noteworthy that you look in the guest reviews on Airbnb and like the last three or four people were like, thank God we didn't have to use the heater. It wasn't cold enough. The host showed us how to use it. I mean, if we're in a situation where a host has to come over and show someone how to operate the heater, it's probably too complicated for the guest to use.
That's so sad.
Justin, is there anything new in the safety world to help us hosts prevent these tragedies? What's a new product or a new procedure that you've seen in your travels? Because you travel everywhere, listeners. I mean,
all over the world.
Real quick, yeah. Justin. Yeah. Where have you been in the last like year? And then, yeah, take us to what new safety products you're seeing.
You know, I'll echo the same thing. There's plenty of room in this space. Anybody else wants to jump in? So far, that hasn't happened. And apparently, I'm still the guy. I'm proud to be the guy, but I need help because, yeah, I've been in England. I've been in castles inspecting them. I've been in Colorado inspecting, you know, the most expensive vacation rental in the world in Beaver Creek. Lots of different places. And I get to see Costa Rica, really excited for some of the stuff. Mexico, Tahiti. Ladies, I wish I could have brought you to Tahiti with me, but
our invitation got lost in the mail.
Yeah, it bounced back. I don't know. Rewind
really quick. Most expensive vacation rental in the world? Is that what you said?
At the time, that's what we believe. We couldn't find anything else.
What is the value of the home?
It was about $40,000 a night. I mean, this property had its own jail, which the eccentric owner of the property before it was a vacation rental thought it was fun to get his buddies drunk and then he'd put them in the jail cell so they wake up passed out in the morning.
$40,000 and it's getting booked.
It was not getting booked. It hasn't since we tried, converted it. I know that they're trying to flip the property up. I think the intent was to get corporate and, you know, get Taylor Swift to come rent it. That didn't happen, but that was the intent.
All right. And you did a full-on safety inspection there?
Yeah, that was really cool.
What's surprising about a house that size and that value?
It had an indoor shooting range, so obviously that wasn't safe. I made them walk that off. It had an indoor climbing wall. We couldn't figure out how to make that work from a safety point of view. It had an indoor teppanyaki grill, like its own private teppanyaki grill. So, you know, we made sure that a caterer was going to be the one, you know, flinging the knives around. But it had two indoor pools, so we were looking closely at that. It had some strange roof access, had a hot tub that was really high up on a deck that had no stairs leading up to it. And it was very complicated to get up there and undo the cover. So obviously there was a lot of things that we identified and adjusted and blocked off so that it wouldn't become a problem for guests.
And I know you mentioned Mexico. There have been like sounding alarms on the news about traveling to Mexico in both resorts and short-term rentals. When you were there, though, what were you feeling from the host and them trying to remedy this? I know that the travel dollars are so, so important. What were the conversations that you were having and the host trying to figure out how they can make sure that their homes are safe?
You know, what was so exciting for me down there was, it was so easy. I walked in and they've never seen this. I showed them news clips from America that Lester Holt's on the evening news saying, you know, Mexico's dangerous. They didn't know this. And they didn't realize that it was so easy to address this problem. The biggest one, obviously, is carbon monoxide gas explosions. And when I showed them that Americans are concerned, Canadians are concerned to come vacation down there because of this, and they're traveling with their own products. First alert, Kitty should have given me big money because I'm just saying, you just need these. And they're all coming up to me and they're ordering them on Amazon and they're realizing, wow, you know, all we have to do is put these in and promote it. If you put these in your rental properties and promote you have them, people from Canada and the US are going to want to come stay in your properties. And we've seen several companies down there that took great action. So that, I'm pretty excited about the results of what we've been working on down there. And Cancun is now putting safety regulations in place based on my safety inspection criteria. So that's pretty, if that's all I've done in my career, I'm pretty excited about that. When you go travel in Cancun now, you can stay in vacation rentals. They're going to be safer just because of some of my checklists.
And for everyone listening, even in the US, CO detector, let's talk about the investment. How many you should have? Let's go back to that. I think that is a message that we can continue to share.
Yeah, so you want independent carbon monoxide alarms, CO alarms, ones that are not combo. And I've talked about this on every one of the last 12 episodes I've been on with you. Stop buying those combos. Something new I learned that was surprising. I was at the NFPA conference, National Fire Protection Association conference. And I didn't realize till I saw a presentation there what a problem it was with the combo units and rental properties, because people were going in and hearing the beep and thinking, oh, it's a smoke alarm going off. So they're pulling the batteries, but not realizing it was a different beep because it was the carbon monoxide that was going off in it, not the fire. And there's been several instances of that. So they just aren't the right product for what we do. You want the independent ones that have like a digital readout. I'm a huge fan of First Alert. I don't get anything for them. I need to figure that out. But they haven't had a recall since 2006. So any of those digital ones that plug into the wall, I like. And I like that, you know, some of them have the wire so you can secure it, go to Home Depot or Lowe's, get the wire cover, but just get it permanently mounted to the wall.
And is that different from the explosive gas alert?
It is. And for a few extra bucks, you can do that. If you do have gas in your property, you should have it. I stayed at a vacation rental this past weekend. I was so excited to walk in. There was a gas wood stove in the corner, and right behind it plugged in was a combination, not combination smoke CO, but a combination CO explosive gas alarm. So if there was a leak by that wood stove, that gas wood stove, it would detect that gas leak.
There is one thing that I want to bring up because I see it pretty much, I feel like, every single day, whether I'm on some social media platform, whether I'm scrolling through just Airbnb, the platform, it is the amount of beds that I see in rooms, primarily basements and converted either closets or third levels, that have no windows. There's absolutely no egress, or they're covering the egress up with these beds. Just what are the action items right now? If someone's thinking, I've got this large walk-in closet, I want to convert it, it could be a great other bedroom, I could put two more queen beds in there. What are the standards when you're wanting to put multiple beds in rooms? What should a bedroom with someone sleeping, what should it have?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that. It's overcrowding. And it's probably the most focused on regulation right now that local governments, county governments, state governments, and I'm on a, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, they're a Fire Code Action Committee, FCAC. Those committees help develop what new codes are going to be. It's pretty wild. This committee I'm on, the head of policy for Airbnb is in this. So, I mean, it's a really, really pretty big time having Andrew Kellick in this. And we're discussing regulations are going to be codes that will be adopted by cities, states, counties around the world. And the big topic in there is certainly overcrowding. Prepare for it. Just accept it's going to happen. You've got to stop sticking eight people in bunk beds, triple stacked queen bunk beds inside the rental properties, because they're not going to be allowed soon. And it's creating too much of a challenge for people to get out. We don't, we don't have time to get out of a room anymore. I live in a house built in 1950. If it catches on fire, I've probably got 8-9 minutes to get out because it's an older Bloom construction. You can see behind me, those are solid oak cabinets. They're not something from IKEA or Wayfair. The new modern homes we have, it's not even just so much your time to get out. It's the type of toxic things that are in the furnishings that we have today that are so inexpensive that especially everyone's putting in their properties. So egress is something you need to wrap your head around fast and adjust to.
Here's what I want to focus on for a few, Justin. You've been on 12 other episodes with us. And during that time, I would say it was the, I'm using air quotes, Airbnb gold rush.
Yeah.
It was a very exciting time. People couldn't go to hotels, or once they could, they were still uncertain about it. They much preferred a vacation rental home or an apartment in an urban area, right? Now it's a very different landscape. Occupancies are, and this is backed by data, occupancy is down. Average daily rates are down from the previous years. So I feel like you came on our show and we were talking about safety, but people could only, you know, focus on counting the dollar bills in their bank accounts. Now, only the cream of the crop are going to survive, are going to thrive. And I know that that can include sharing with our guests that we are on top of safety, and that in our space, you can rest assured that not only do we have hospitality on lockdown, your safety is our top concern. Have that be a point of marketing. We talked about it before, but how do you think that's changed in today's marketplace with short-term rentals, where we are having to work a lot harder to get a guest to stay with us?
How can safety sell?
Yeah, and we saw it for the first time last summer after the fire in the Outer Banks. That was a big, that had heavy news coverage in a big feeder market, which is the Washington, D.C. metro area. And we've seen bookings on the decline. The nightly news isn't Lester Holt telling you about go stay in a vacation. It's fun. He's talking about all these different incidents that are happening, and people are seeing that, and that's wearing it down. Never has there been an opportunity like there is right now to market with safety. In Mexico, that I just talked about, it's a great example of that. You can use safety now to get bookings. I never dreamed that was what it was going to be about. I was always just focused on what smoke alarm did we need, what fire extinguisher type. I've been so focused on the education side. And this past year, I've seen just such a remarkable evolution from a lot of your listeners. I hear from a lot of your listeners who say, hey, Justin, we've done your safety checklist. We've done this stuff. And we actually were able to increase our price. We got bookings. I love hearing that. Who would have known it's that easy? I mean, what kind of a reward is it that you just do what's right, you make this safe, but it's going to help the whole industry when you do that. When you make your property safe, you market that it's safe. Now we're educating the guests that they want to rent safe properties. And so now they're working with the people that we care about, not the people who are having these, you know, noisy parties with shootings and things like that.
What is the consumer? What is the traveler? What is our guest looking for? Like, what truly is selling? What part of safety is getting that booking?
The guests are looking right now for a couple things. They're looking for a comfortable, relaxing place where they can spend time and not have to worry about, you know, do I have to fix this? Do I have to fix that? They want to see a well-maintained property. So that's very important to them. And then they're also thinking about the world, what's going on in the world. And so, you know, there's lots of studies that show people think when they're booking travel. You know, we saw, for example, Alaskan Airlines this past month. They had an incident where that door blew up. Alaskan's bookings dropped. Their prices have dropped. It's great. I actually booked a flight on Alaska not shortly after that because I know incidents don't repeat themselves. But that's just that incident that it's a type of thing where you see people are concerned about safety. And so they want to book and stay in a property that's safe, maintained. They don't want to deal with hassles. You know, working at Breezeway, we get to see all the maintenance inspections, the communications, all the different things that come up. And, you know, people don't want to have to deal with problems, and they give really good rewards when they get to go, or reviews, excuse me, when they get to go stay in a property and everything went smooth and they felt safe.
In another area of the market change, people are also seeing again how much work it's going to take to maintain occupancy and our rates and or get it as high as we can, so much so that they might be offloading it, their property to a co-host. And so we're seeing a lot of conversations from our community, Justin, because they're amazing hosts, where their friends or their acquaintances are asking them to co-host for them. Now, the word co-host can mean so many things. We're talking a lot about it a lot on the podcast because it seems to be the year of the co-host. But Justin, what are your thoughts on the co-host's responsibility when it comes to safety when they don't own the property?
Yeah, I mean, they're on the hook. There's no doubt. And if there's one thing that has grown tremendously in, you know, the 4 or 5 years that I've been speaking with you guys, it is the litigious world and the focus that lawyers now have on how attractive the home sharing, vacation rental, short-term rental, Airbnb market is. They want it bad because it's really easy to point out when someone's being negligent. And we could say 5 years ago, before I started doing podcasts with you, we could say that, you know, well, how am I supposed to know what to do to make a rental property safe? No, there's no information out there. Well, that's gone now. There's so much information out there on what to do. And so you're being negligent if you're not. So if you're going to get involved in co-hosting, it's critically important that you're keeping an eye out and understanding this isn't a safe situation. I'm walking into a bedroom and the bed is up against the window when there's a fire. And this is a big thing I encourage every co-host to think about. Get rid of the word if the guests are messy. They're going to be messy. Someone's going to be messy. If the guests have a party, at some point in time during the year, some guests can have a party. And when there is a fire, when the lights go out and the guests are trying to get from their car into the house, you need to prepare and make sure that each step of the process, you have addressed safety. How are they going to get out? Go through that, enact that. Those are all responsibilities you now have to take on as a co-host.
It's a lot of responsibility. Justin, I want to tell you a story. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast yet. A friend of mine here in our city is a co-host, and you have to get licensed in Columbus to operate a short-term rental. Now, I wish the license process was a little more stringent when it came to safety checks, but you at least have to be licensed and agree that you understand building code and that you are adhering to it. Well, her owner hadn't renewed their license. It wasn't a part of her process to make sure the license was on the up and up. And apparently the city was reaching out to the owner about renewing it. The owner never did. The city couldn't get a hold of the owner. But her picture was up on the Airbnb profile as a co-host. And so they held her responsible. She was doing 16 hours of community service. I'm talking picking up garbage on the highway because she was a part of a property that was not actively licensed by the city. And she told me this to share with everyone because she's like, I had no idea that I would be held to the same standards that the owner would be held to. I was just helping with some messaging. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just over here trying to help him while he's, you know, at work or what have you. But these municipalities are treating co-hosts with the same amount of responsibility as they are the homeowners.
Imagine if that same if there'd been a fire at that property. Same co-host would have probably minimum had to have paid $100,000 to get her name removed from the lawsuit and prove she had nothing to do with that. At a minimum.
Wow.
I like to take you all to this level where we're at the cliff. But before we jump off the cliff, I just want to remind you, if you're an auto mechanic, you got to check the lug nuts. If you're a chef, you got to check the food temperature. And if you're loading baggage on an airplane, you got to make sure the guy comes up and double checks. I mean, we take on risks in everything we do. This is, if you approach this as a risk, you have to take, then it's understandable and you can manage that risk.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16,000, 17,000?
Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes, I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats, and yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much
Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know. But I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, we know this. When we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostly, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes, plus our bottom line.
Yeah.
So listeners, please give Hostly's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostly's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostly's property management software to get $100 off.
If you can speak to this a little bit about insurance and, you know, having a litigation, what do you recommend, though, Justin, when you see an incident happens, it is a safe property, a fire, you know, maybe the guest really, truly does. They brought candles. They did something with the grill. What are next steps? Like, how have hosts successfully defended themselves when they did have a safe property? Let's dive into what can we do to prepare if that were to happen, to have a best case scenario for the hosts.
Yeah, I love this. And actually, I want to answer this with two different answers. One is a lead. And this kind of goes back to your first question you asked earlier. What's like a hot topic that's been going on lately? One's been hot tubs. If you have a hot tub at your rental property, you need to change the water every 4 to 6 weeks. You don't get to just leave it like the one at your house that you do once or twice a year. These are people using it. And you need to know how to manage the chemicals in it. And I've seen all these hosts lately. They're like, oh, I just had the cleaner dump in. I even just saw one where it's like they told the guests, when you leave, take a half a cup of chlorine and pour it in. It's, oh my God. Do you know the risk you're taking on? To get certified to manage water for a hot tub takes about a $700 online course. If you have a hot tub at your property and you're not having a professional certified manage water, you need to do that. But where that leads into answering your question is I had a host that said, well, I've never heard of any of this. My cleaner does it. I said, perfect. Well, call your insurance company right now and tell them that your cleaner is the one who is dumping chemicals in before each guest arrive, that she has no certification, and ask your insurance agent if your guests are burned, chemical burns. That just happened 2 weeks ago in Florida at an Airbnb where the guests, because someone put too much chlorine in, turns out the last guest had their kids in there and they thought they were, quote unquote, peeing in the hot tub. So they put extra chlorine because they didn't want to get busted by, you know, in the reviews. So, you know, now the next guests show up, no one checked and they got burned. So ask your insurance agent, what are you going to do? This, I'm calling right now with this claim. How does this get covered? And this host found out that, oh, wow, well, you didn't know that. So yeah, we're not covered. To answer the second part of your question is document, document, document. I mean, it's so easy now. Take your cell phone and document it. It's geotagged. You've got the date time stamp. Just take pictures. And obviously, I'll plug Breezeway because Breezeway lets you do that. And you should be using Breezeway to do that. We've seen now court cases where, Your Honor, I did an inspection report, or my cleaner did a walkthrough, documented in Breezeway afterwards, and we have this report. And the judge says, then why are we here in court? This is an open shut. See you later. You're good. And so when you can go to the insurance company and go, well, the guest got injured, but I have a picture here. The light worked on Tuesday. It's okay. Easy out the door. Document, document, document.
That is the hot tip. Obviously, we're huge supporters of Breezeway, but again, you can do this. Like you said, your phone is going to geotag, date and timestamp. You know, that could be part, if you don't have any tech at all and your turnover team at least has a phone, yay, we locked this, the hot tub up. We did this having pictures for every turnover. That way, if there's any negligence brought up, you can be like, look, this, we are doing the same checklist every single time. So they see, oh my gosh, yeah, they really, like, here's the checklist, here are the photos. They are doing this after each and every turn. So that responsibility factor is compounded if you can show proof that you do that. That's, you have SOPs for every turn over there. The checklist is something that helped.
Yep.
Have you seen something in particular with insurance or counsel? Is there something that you've seen a trend where hosts have best defended themselves with a certain insurance policy or, you know, a certain way to approach the cases? What's something you've seen over and over again besides, you know, documenting and having proof that they're not negligent?
Yeah, you know, there's a story that's out right now. There was a woman in Florida who her Airbnb burned down here in February. She didn't want to pay for a more expensive policy. And now she's in a position where the insurance that she has isn't covering fire damage that happened on her Airbnb. She's going to lose 4 times the amount of rental income this next month than what it would have been had she paid for a better, you know, a proper insurance policy that would have covered for all these different things. And so a lot of insurance companies now are getting out of this. I often tell people the biggest threat to our industry is insurance. And at some point in time, and you guys want to go in on this, and we'll get some of your listeners, we're going to have to create our own fund to insure the vacation rentals, because there's Proper, there's Foremost, there's a few other companies. But when I got started in this in 1997, anybody you walked into and you said, I want to insure a vacation rental, they went, okay, sure, yeah, not a problem. Those guys are gone. Vermont Life, Holyoke, they don't want to insure vacation rentals anymore because they're so, you know, so dangerous. And so you've got to be working with an insurance company now that knows how to protect you, understands everything, and you've got to have intimate knowledge on it. The same way a doctor needs to know what tools he uses to check a patient, you need to know every tool that's there with the insurance companies and what they can do to help you.
It just happened to me. I have a new client and I'm trying to get her, and I'm trying to assist her with getting coverage. And we reached out to two of her brokers. She has two different brokers. And they both, without even knowing any other information other than we wanted to operate as a short-term rental, said no. And yep. It was actually shocking to me. I was like, really? Even in like 2024, you don't have a product that you... And listeners, if you feel like, well, I didn't have that issue, I just want to make sure that you were clear to your broker that you're operating it. It's not regular landlord coverage. It is, you're operating on, you know, short-term rentals because it's different.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably make a list if people wanted to see it. But I mean, there's certain questions you want to ask the insurance company. What happens if a guest comes and I give them a bottle of wine? Which, by the way, I know this is controversial, but stop giving your guests alcohol. I have yet, someone call me and send me an email. Show me where you lost a booking because you didn't give them a bottle of wine when they showed up or that they didn't come back again. But ask them what happens if a guest leaves the property drunk driving. It's called off-premise liability. Ask them what happens if guests are intoxicated at your property and something happens. And I know you guys have been talking about pets a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Ask them what happens if someone brings a dog to your property and it goes over next door and bites the neighbor. And what type of coverage is there? Ask them what happens when your house burns down and catches on fire because a guest did something. Ask them what kind of income you're still going to get because you got a mortgage to pay. And how is that mortgage going to be covered if there's a fire at their property? So there's all these things you've got to ask. You don't just go and go, hey, I need insurance. Thanks. Someone covered me. I'm out of here. You've got to have really clear questions about all the scenarios. And all you have to do is, you know, go on my Facebook page and where I keep track of all the incidents. Just what happens when there's a drowning? What happens when my pool has too much chlorine in it? What happens when, you know, all these different things?
Let's spin it around. What are like the top three things that someone could go do today that they'll at least feel like I made my property safer today?
I've been really excited lately talking about carpets and trip hazards. That's the biggest one. All right. We've just talked about some really bad stuff. 5 people might have a hot tub burn from chlorine this year, and we're going to have 50 fires. But the reality is we're going to have 70,000 people or more trip, slip, or fall in a vacation rental in the U.S. this year. And that comes from numbers Airbnb has shared. So we know that there's a lot of slips, trips, and falls. A big one, I was just at a rental property, as I said, this past weekend with an explosive gas detector. The thing that I loved when I walked in is it had this big water hog mat. I think theirs was from L.L. Bean, but they make them all over. They're flat and they're big. And so stop using those little teeny mats that when you step in, you barely have three, you know, you can fit maybe two people on it, maybe. But if you've got luggage, not many. Number one, they're so small that they wiggle and move around and they become a trip hazard. Number two is they don't really serve any purpose because there's not enough room to wipe your feet off anyway. So I say go big. Get a big mat that everybody who's showing up at your property can all stand on together. Fill that entryway with this nice big mat. And like I said, Water Hog is a good mat to go with. And then also walk through your property and look at your pathways. I was just in a rental property down in Virginia where when you walked in to go to the kitchen, you had to cross through the living room, but they have stuck the carpet out into what is that path. The path from the main entry to the kitchen has a corner of a living room rug sticking out. Well, your focus is going to be on the kitchen, not the living room. And I could look at this corner of the carpet. It was talking to me. It was lifted up. And you know people are tripping on it. Move that carpet out of the passageway. Get it back in the living room. Get a smaller one. Slide it over. So easy. Hardly will cost you any money unless you actually have to buy a new carpet. But take a focus on your trip hazards because that's what's going to get you the biggest.
I want to ask you about something that I think hosts could do today. I want to improve this in our rentals or at least revisit them and make sure that they're in good shape and the language still makes sense. But let's talk about, okay, you have a ladder to escape out of a window that is proper egress size. But how do we tell the guest, hey, this is the window that you should, yeah, this is the best course of action when there is an emergency. Here is the ladder. Or, you know, when you leave this, if you're maybe managing an apartment building, when you leave, take a left and a right, that's the best exit. How are you seeing hosts successfully communicate safety in their rentals?
With the right signage, we need to do a better job in this industry of using the correct signs to alert people of things. Having a sign that says park here, that might be important and you have to do it. But having a sign that says no noise after 10 o'clock at night, that's dangerous because people aren't going to pay attention to that anyway. That's something you communicate in an email or somewhere else, because what that sign should be, like you said, egress or this is dangerous. We need to focus on making sure that we're only using signage for the most critically important things. There was a court case I saw recently where that's exactly what the lawyer said in court. He said, excuse me, you guys had a sign telling people to take off your shoes. You had a sign saying park here and you had a sign saying don't make noise after 10 o'clock. But you didn't have a sign telling people that they couldn't be in the hot tub longer than 15 minutes and that they should consult their doctor. And it was a fatality of a guest in a hot tub. And that's what the lawsuit was based on, is that they didn't know that they were supposed to do that. You know that. I know that. But that's how they won on that technicality. So do it nicely. You don't have to have these big, ugly red signs on Amazon that say fire extinguisher. There's no code that says it has to be big, ugly, bright letters. You can use the font as long as it's clear. And you could do black and white. I was just in a property where when the owner of the property is there, they don't want to see signage. And so they have this nice picture frame on the wall that has a picture of their kids. When the guests are in residence, they pull that picture out and drop, and right behind it is the important safety stuff that's there. And it's clear, it's nice, and it's presented in a good way. So that's where you really need to start, is making sure you've got good signage.
Is that in every room, though?
No, not necessarily. If you've got a three-bedroom house, you can get away with having the address and emergency card, you know, on the refrigerator. Again, nice. I'm not talking like trash hours and deliveries and where to get pizza. Make it nice and clean and crisp and clear that's focused just on that important information. And then if you're getting into four or five bedrooms, you might also put that beside each bed. Again, in a nice little frame beside the bed. You're going to have a frame over the fireplace if they use it with the instructions or beside it that's nice, clearly print. A sign at the hot tub, a sign at the pool. If there's some other type of crazy thing in the property that's complicated or potentially could lead to an issue. You know, the grill, don't move the grill from here. This is how it operates. QR codes are great too.
I see, another thing I see scrolling through social media and listings, I feel like so many slides, just like whether it's from the inside to the outside, or they put them on like bunk beds so the kids can go from the top to the bottom. They just scream danger to me. Is there any rules and regulations around indoor slides
or in slides from the inside to the outside?
We've seen a couple that are okay. Actually, I was at a house with you guys in Columbus that had an indoor slide. I was okay with it. I honestly don't know that it gets more bookings. I mean, it's like, someone show me that. Thank God we installed that slide, because until we did, we weren't getting many bookings. And now it's through the roof. Sure, it's cool. But to your point, there's a lot of get rich people. I'm seeing them. Help. If you guys want to help me, let's troll those guys, because they're bothering the heck out of me. I just saw somebody in Florida. They put in gyms and houses and trolley lines and slides. And then you go in and they've converted the garage of a house that was never intended to have it as a sleeping area. They've converted the garage into like 8 bunk beds. There's no smoke alarm. They've bolted the garage doors down. There's no egress. And they're touting it that I just made $1 million in the first year on bookings. Those people are hurting us. They're hurting all of us that care and are doing the right thing in the industry, putting the slides in that slide into the lake. I saw one, I think it was on Lake Lure in North Carolina. It had like 2 million downloads on Instagram. The person's going down the slide, and you can actually see in the back of the picture a boat's wake going by. It's like, how long before someone's going to slide right into the boat?
You're hitting like the nail on the head with a few things. That we're seeing a lot of these photos online of just convert your garage, convert your basement, like game rooms, extra bedrooms. And we have knowledge of hosts that have taken those recommendations. Let's say their garage, they converted it into a game room. And then when this was a city where they did need to be inspected, the inspector came out. I was like, this is a garage. This is not any sort of living space. They spent all this money to convert it, the pool table, the design, and they couldn't even, they were like, no, this is not permitted. This is not permissible here. So if you're going to do one of these, like, Airbnb doesn't need a garage, Airbnb doesn't need a basement, you need to make sure, though, whatever your inspections and what your code is, that before you make that investment in pivoting that room, that you're actually going to be able to host guests with that like that. So I've heard stories on the flip side. They've seen this. They're like, that's a great idea. That's an amenity that people are going to want. I am going to get bookings from it. And then they weren't able to open because they had converted it.
I'm all right with some, you know, you see these theme things. There's one, the Taylor Swift. If it's theme, you got her records on the wall. That's cool. Or Barbie's house, Barbie's dream house. There's a couple things. But this whole turn the Airbnb into a jungle gym play thing, like you said, I was at one in Orlando. I think it was supposed to be an Elsa and Anna from Frozen's room. And they built a castle and they're actually covering the sprinkler heads. I'm like, you guys covered up the sprinkler heads. If there's a fire, it can't get down here. And they're like, yeah, I didn't know that. We didn't know. Nobody knew. What are you doing? So, yeah, that stuff is taking it too far. And that's going to cause – that's hurting all of us. It's hurting the ones that are playing by the rules and going, all right, I'm going to make my log cabin feel like a log cabin. But I'm not making it so Daniel Boone is, you know, shooting, hunting through the living room. So, I mean, it's – we got it. We're going too far sometimes, folks.
I think you hit the nail on the head with our biggest concern should be the insurance companies. And that is a direct result of bad operators or really great hosts who just aren't asking questions, right? They'll do anything to make their rental successful. So they'll do those things that aren't safe. Things happen. News happens. Insurance companies drop out. And all of a sudden, because we have no coverage, and so therefore we can't safely operate. So I thought that hit home for me. Of Annette and I have a lot more work to do in terms of getting to as many hosts as possible and supporting you, Justin, in those efforts. Before we conclude this episode, which we've already talked about, you coming back, I have a very specific topic I want you to come and speak on the podcast. So you'll be back. But right now, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about safety and 2024?
Yeah, I touched on it briefly, but I really want to hit this one home. Start educating your guests. It's a great way to get, there's so many things you can do to get them to come back and stay with you again. But when you educate them, if you've got followers, if there are people who are paying close attention to you, you've got an Instagram channel, you're talking about, you know, how great your property is. Talk to them about the safety in your property, because then they're going to start looking for it. And if they go elsewhere and they're like, wait a minute, the host I always stay with, they've got a fire extinguisher mounted and they've talked about it and they show me how the windows open and that you're not showing me this. That education is going to help make our industry better. But it's also going to help get them so that, again, they want to come back and stay with you because they haven't found anybody else who cared about them as much as you. So start doing that on social media. I'm doing that now, too. I'm starting to do stuff. I was just in St. Martin with my wife. The video that I shot there was what I do when I go stay in a rental, and I showcased what's important to me about my stay and the few things that I'm going to do when I check in. So I can't encourage people enough. We need to educate the guests that we want to come stay with us that what we're doing is important so that they recognize that.
Where can our listeners find more of you, Justin Ford?
Well, it's a lot. A lot coming up. I'm pretty much on the road all the entire month of April. We got the VRMA conference. Canada's having its very first conference, Canna Stays. There's a vacation rental design summit in High Point, North Carolina. I'm really excited about that. I'll be the keynote at that one. There's Michigan's doing a short-term conference. So just if you get online, you can see I'm doing a lot of travel to a lot of different conferences and presentations. So that's exciting. You can find me on Instagram, short-term rental safety, on Facebook. So Facebook's where I share all the grim, terrible things happening. And then LinkedIn, short-term rental safety, Justin Ford. I like to share a lot of different thoughts and on policies and different things going on. And I can't keep up with you guys on Instagram. I try. You guys crush it over there, but I do try and be my little 1,500 followers. They seem to like
what I do. They all matter.
You have to follow Justin on LinkedIn or don't, because if you post something that's not safe or you say something that's not safe, he will come after you and it's really fun to watch.
And
I'm a troller.
Hey, listen, we have also been reprimanded by Mr. Ford. And we'll let you know, we've been reprimanded on some of our STR shares because there have been photos that we've shared. And he's had to let us know, like, hey, that cool photo of that girl drinking her coffee on the deck is pretty, pretty terrible. And we're like, oh, my gosh, you're right. Look at that staircase. Not safe. So we just want to let you know that Justin is also
making us aware.
Yeah. But again, it's all in the name of safety, saving lives. Justin, we cannot thank you enough for being on the show again. And we'll have
you
back again.
Can I brag quick before we leave?
Yeah.
We did data. Last year, 22 lives directly that we know that were saved because they listened and did something I did. And I'll be honest with you, that's what drives me. You know, my wife's like, it's 8 o'clock. You got to come to bed, you know, come in, have dinner. You've been working all day. The number one thing drives me now is how many people are reaching out to me and going, hey, Justin, we didn't have smoke alarms in a room. We heard you on a podcast. We installed them and we had a fire 2 weeks later. And oh, my God, we couldn't imagine what would have happened. So that's the thing that's driving me right now, and to know that and actually hear people's lives being saved, some of your listeners and injuries that have been prevented. So take action.
Yeah, take action. And also, Justin is on all those social channels. Let him know if you've made that change, if you've, you know, installed the fire extinguisher, if you've got, you know, if you changed out your smoke alarms, do that. So and what Justin does, too, I love listen to everything that he says, because there are so many things I've personally taken. Like, I redid all of my parents' smoke alarms. I'm like, that is not as white as it's supposed to be. How long has that been in that random area of the house? So what I love about what you teach is people can use this knowledge in every property that they ever reside in their whole entire lives. So you are doing really important work, Justin.
Thanks. Thank you for helping me amplify it.
Yep.
All right. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, It's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.